This is the Faith Conversations podcast. Here, we bring people of faith to the table for honest and authentic conversations about personal faith journeys and what it is like to have a personal relationship with God. Hi, friends. Welcome to the Faith Conversations podcast. This is Jessica Cabrera, your host. I'm really excited that you're here listening with us today. I have to tell you, my kickoff to recording this episode has been so much fun. I am here with Pastor Matt Rampe from Burke Community Church. He's the pastor of middle school and college ministries. And let me just tell you how this whole thing kicked off. Behind the scenes, before we hit record, Matt came in and said, let's go for some podcast vibes.
Yeah.
He brought these swivel armchairs into the studio. We're typically sitting in like a desk chair, right? And he's like, no, man, we got to get some podcast vibes. He brought armchairs. We are chilling right now. So I'm having a blast already, and we haven't even had this conversation. Matt, I'm so glad that you're here today, and I cannot wait to have this conversation.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm super excited. And yes, we have to have the podcast vibes. It feels good.
I'm telling you, I actually think this might have to be a new thing. The listeners are going to need to comment and tell us if they can tell a difference when we're sitting in the swivel armchairs versus when we're sitting in the desk chairs. Because if it adds to the quality of the podcast recording, I think we might need to, you know, change up some things here in the studio.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Okay. Fun times. So Matt, I would love to learn more about you and your journey and ultimately God's hand on your life. So let's just start. If you'll tell me about your background, I know nothing. So just start from scratch. Tell me about your background and then maybe lead into how you ended up coming to faith in Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I will just give you the spoiler up front that I did get saved at 21. Mm-hmm. So I was just out of college at that point.
Okay.
But the story starts just, with my upbringing was my mom and dad. My dad's background very briefly was he did not grow up in church at all. And then my mom grew up in the Catholic Church. And so those are the two upbringings that my parents brought me into. And so
Where are you from?
I'm from this area.
Northern Virginia.
Yeah, I'm a Nova native. It's rare.
It is very rare. Yeah. Okay, good to know.
Gainesville, Haymarket area.
Okay.
So shout out
beautiful
to those.
Beautiful area.
Thank you. Yeah, I loved growing up there. So you know, my mom was very much, you know, not really had read the Bible or anything like that. And that was not something that was in our home. I'd never heard the gospel, didn't understand what a relationship with Jesus was. And so I would say it was more of a, I don't know that I would call it Christianity, but more of our upbringing was you have to check the box, go to the Sunday mass and all that, and go through some of the motions of the sacraments. But me and my brother had no interest. We didn't listen. We slept or argued or pranked each other during the Sunday mass. And so that was the extent of my relationship with God, if you will. My desire in life was just to do whatever I wanted to do. And I started to develop a vision of what I thought was going to be my vision of the good life and of freedom as I got older. And so a little bit of background, I was, you know, into sports and video games and all of that. When I was 13 years old, so it was like right around middle school time, I got exposed to pornography. And that was something that became a real addiction for me growing up. And so I would say lust and those kinds of things were very much a part of my life. So the vision of my life that I was forming was something of pleasure and partying and fun and all of those things. And so that went into high school, where I was the type of person where I would really sort of like a chameleon, like be able to fit in with groups and get in with certain groups and everything. And so a lot of my identity came around feeling accepted or approved by others that I thought were cool in the school or had some sort of status or popularity. And so that was a difficult time, although if you had asked me then, I probably thought things were going great. And so I got into the partying scene in high school, just going out to people's houses when their parents weren't there, drinking and all that stuff. And then, that just continued when I went to college. So I went to JMU and I was super excited about going there for different reasons than my parents. So they knew that I wanted to get a business major. And so they're like, oh, this is a top business school. And, you know, we're very happy for you. And I was it was ranked a top 10 party school at the time when I applied. And so
and you knew that.
And I knew that.
OK.
And then they would put out just the student population ratio that there's, you know, like 2 or 3 to 1, like girls to guys, and just very wrong ways of thinking for me. But that's what I thought was going to be a sense of freedom, like getting out from under my parents, going to college, doing whatever I want to do. So, I roomed with my, in college with my high school, one of my best friends. And, he just, you know, was not a good influence on my life, as most of my friends, were atheists actually. And so, but I was pursuing the same lifestyle. And so just to kind of pause there, I will tell you that I would say I believed in God, you know, but then you read parts in James where it talks about even the demons believe. And so it was like, I acknowledged that he existed, but I just, he wasn't part of my life. And I just wanted to live life on my own terms. And so I go to college with that mindset. And my whole goal is I'm going to pursue these avenues that I think are going to give me life. And so for me, that was, you know, I was there for business. I wanted to get into sports marketing. You know, I loved playing sports growing up. And then, so that was kind of the post-college goal, was make a lot of money doing a job that would be fun, that I would like. But while I was there, my main goal was to just basically party every weekend or every day I could, explore that lifestyle. And so, you know, like I got heavier into drinking. My roommate got me into smoking weed and all of that. And I said I was never going to do that. And I like compromised on that like the first week. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole bunch of stories around that of God's grace in rescuing me out of that. But and you know, we can touch on those. But so anyway, so, you know, I get really into that lifestyle and I'm pursuing it. The other thing I would say from a addiction standpoint, I was still struggling with my addiction to pornography. And then at the same time, I didn't want to be somebody who was like sleeping around. I just wanted to have a girlfriend, but I still wanted the sexual aspect of that relationship. So that was, you know, so I had a girlfriend for college and everything like that. And our relationship was just built on all the wrong foundations. There's just a series of things that happened that came crashing down. And this is kind of where, maybe the climax of the story happens is, the first thing is I get into a huge argument with my roommates. And so we're fast forwarding to junior year of college.
Okay.
We're off campus at this point. I'm still with my best friend from high school. And then we have two other roommates. We are basically pre-gaming before we got to this party and we're all drunk and there'd been this tension building between me and my best friend, and it turned into this huge blowout argument, and it was the kind that you don't recover from. Mm-hmm. And so it was like the friendship's going to be severed, and so that's what happened. But I'm stuck in a lease in the apartment with them. So that was the first thing that happened. And then a couple weeks later, my mom calls me and basically had discovered my porn addiction. And that was the most disgraceful and just like humiliating phone call. And so that was really hard for me. And so those things happened back to back. And then kind of in the rearview mirror, not too far off from that, was my girlfriend at the time, about 6 to 8 months prior to that, had cheated on me. And so I had broken up with her. And so those three things were sort of my own rock bottom where God brought me to the end of myself. Mm. And it was so painful, but it was like, there was no, it seems that there was no other way God was, you know, that I was going to give attention to him, so to speak. And so it was very gracious of him to do that, but it was very painful. And so I'm sitting in my apartment room and I have the door locked and I don't want to be bothered and I'm just crying. And I just asked the question, like, I started asking deeper questions about life. Like, there's got to be more to life than this. Like, who am I? And like, what is this really all about? What have I been chasing? Because in that moment, there was this emptiness and this like hollowness and this sorrow of what I've done didn't lead where I thought it was going to. Like all the things
that's not fulfilling.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was looking for fulfillment in life and thought it was going to be complete in the combination of those things, and it left me empty. And so I asked the question, who am I? And I can't explain all of how this works to you since I didn't know the Lord yet, but I believe the Holy Spirit revealed that to me before I knew him, of like this vision came to my mind of basically like people are walking and the sun is setting and there's this big shadow cast behind the group of people. And I'm not one of those individual people with an identity. I'm in the shadows. Like I'm just someone who, like I said, or like a chameleon who can just blend in with an environment. And so there was this realization that like I had never really thought about who am I and been unashamed of who I am. Like I would always compromise, do things I didn't want to do to fit in or be defined as cool by certain people. And so that moment was very powerful. I go into my nightstand and I have a teen Bible, and the story around that, when I was 13, and I'm jumping around a little bit, so forgive me on that.
Okay. But
so my dad gets saved in his early 40s, which is a miracle.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so
while you were living at home.
So my parents got divorced when I was 8 years old.
Okay.
And my dad had a different lifestyle before he met my mom, just partying, pursuing a lot of similar pleasures, had gotten into harder drugs than I had, eventually met my mom and started having kids and settled down. But through that divorce, he could have gone back to that, but I got to watch him basically pursue Christ, like as God was drawing him near. And I didn't understand it. I didn't really care for it. I just knew that my dad was different, that he was transformed, even though I couldn't explain that, and that he was actually loving and present and attentive more than I had experienced. And so, but in any case, he gave me this Bible when I turned 13, a teen Bible, and it sat on the bookshelf and I never touched it or opened it. And I had custody with my mom, so I saw him a good bit, but I didn't live there full time. But I never touched it. And so he, on my freshman move-in day, snuck it into my...
I was going to say, did you take it to college with you? He snuck it in, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, he snuck it in. And he, like, we were unpacking the boxes. And I never forget it because, you know, my mom and dad were in the same room in tight quarters. And that had not happened in a while. It was a difficult divorce. But... we open the box, him and I are doing one of them together, and I see the Bible, and I like look at him and I laugh, like kind of like mocking, like a smirk, and just say, what's this doing in here? And he looks back at me and he just has this look in his eye, and he kind of smirks back, but it's gentle and loving, like it's not the kind that I had. And he just looks me in the eyes, like dead in the eyes, and he's like, I don't know, maybe you'll need it one day.
Oh yeah.
And that was so powerful. And so somehow it made it to my junior year of college, through all the moves and everything. And it was just buried in the bottom of my nightstand underneath all my college textbooks.
Huh.
So that moment that I was describing with the room locked and crying, is when I reached out for that Bible.
You remembered that it was there.
I remembered it was there.
Okay.
Yeah. In that moment I did.
Yeah.
I forgot it was there before that. And I just started, I didn't know what to do or where to start. I was like, well, I think it's just one big book. So I just opened to page one, Genesis 1, and just started reading. Now, during that time, though, I was not convinced that Christianity was like there is one true God. You know, I don't know. I need to explore this. Like, how do I know it's Christianity? And so I found this podcast on world religions, and explored all of that. So I would listen and take notes. And it was just this female professor, college professor, who was just explaining the major world religions and trying to do it in a very unbiased way and just kind of laying out the facts. So I'd listen to that, and then I would read the Bible slowly. And things started changing in my life, in the sense that, like, I was just asking and seeking God, but didn't know who is God and how do I know? And so I start reading the Bible. I'm going through it very slowly. This is not a Saul to Paul type of instant conversion. It took me like 2 years.
And I'm sitting here wondering, were you, was like Genesis, Exodus? Like, did you go? Yeah. Really?
Yeah, I just went
through
I just,
the Old Testament.
Absolutely. Wow, yeah. Okay. I was like, it's a book, so I'm just going
right.
to follow it. And because okay. I had no Christian friends.
Yeah.
I was not in a church environment. I never grew up in youth group. So I only had atheist friends. So I just didn't know. And I just started reading it.
Right.
I didn't know it was 66 different books at that time.
Right. And I want to explain for anyone listening who's never read the Bible or isn't familiar with it. The reason I'm joking about this is because once you get into the first, you know, like once you get to the third, fourth, fifth book of the Old Testament, which is the beginning part of the Bible, it gets very kind of technical and the ancient law. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just kind of laughing at the fact that he must have been like, whoa, well, here we go. I will say, though, that in my own experience of eventually reading the Bible start to finish is actually very fascinating. And
yeah,
you read a lot of things. You're like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe this is in the Bible.
Yeah.
But anyway, I digress.
No, it is. That was an interesting journey for me to read through Leviticus for the first having never read the Bible.
How was Leviticus?
It was difficult. And I had a lot of questions and doubts and confusions. And like, this is strange.
Yeah, but then you just kept reading.
I just kept reading. Yeah. And so I read through it slowly. I the only way I can describe it is that like I got convicted of things. Mm-hmm. Like I started the things that brought me pleasure, you know, like partying, you know, smoking weed, pornography, like being in a relationship before marriage, like sexually speaking, like all of that started to change for me. Like I was like, all right, well, I'm going to stop smoking weed and just quit cold turkey. Now, that is something that's like, I would say, a deliverance from God. Like, it's not something that I just white knuckle willpowered and did it. Mm-hmm. I would not have done that apart from God or any of these things. And so that happened and I didn't go back to it. I was about to turn 21. So my attitude as a non-believer at the time was, yeah, I'm going to keep drinking. You know, it's about to be legal. But slowly I was removing these things from my life as I'm reading the word, because really what I was doing was like, let me test and see if this is true. Like if God is who he says he is, and this is the God of the Bible, you know, Jesus, then, and he's real, then that means these things will be real and prove to be true. And so I removed that. I felt convicted after my mom called me and I had some time to process it about my pornography addiction. That's a longer journey where I have freedom now and after getting saved, but I tried to fight it in my own willpower as a non-believer, and that only took me so far. So for example, like I quit just kind of cold turkey after that phone call with my mom, and that lasted a month. Like, mm-hmm. and then I was back to my old ways again. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't last apart from Christ. And so so that was another piece of it, but I started to see like how God was working in these things, and I was continuing to like be tempted with other situations coming up, other people coming into my life, and sometimes I would lean into those and sometimes I would draw away from those. So I'm gonna just gonna fast forward to when I graduate college, mm-hmm. my senior year. At this point, it's a week after I've graduated, and I am at my aunt and uncle's house. They are such an important part of this story. They were like, so my aunt got saved in her early 30s. And then my uncle, after that, they have a very wild story of what God has done in their life. Just mm-hmm. amazing. But they were very solid and just role models in the faith for me, even though I didn't know what it meant. So I'm at their house and I'm just talking to them excited, very eager about all the things I've been reading in the Bible. And I'm just telling them how my life has changed. They're asking lots of good questions. I'm saying, hey, there's depth of relationship I've never experienced with other people before, and I don't know how to explain it. I said, there's like this peace in my life that I've always strived for, but could never experience, and I'm experiencing that now, and I don't understand what's going on. And I just kept explaining what was going on in my life.
And I have a question. Yeah. So over those years that you were reading the Bible and you were starting to experience this concept of conviction,
mm-hmm.
and really seeing that there was a depth to life that was beyond what you had been experiencing previously, were you talking to anyone else about this, or was the aunt and uncle conversation like the first time you started to unpack this, or was it something that you were finding people to talk to? You know, I'm just kind of curious, was it something you were doing just like, in my case, I was actually seeking the Lord literally in my closet with the door closed.
Yeah.
And I would go in there and not want anyone to know what I was doing. And so I'm kind of curious, were you doing that, or were you more just kind of flirting with this idea publicly or talking to other people about it?
That's a great question. I was doing it privately, similar to yours. I would read it in my room with the door shut. I would start to like talk to God and pray for the first time, you know, just internally, probably not even out loud, I don't think, at that point. And just like asking like who God, like I'm not sure that I'm, which, you know, who I'm praying to, because I hadn't, I'm like, if you're real, like I'm like asking him to reveal these things. Like, if this is you, God, like let these things prove to be true, or show me
what
who
am
you
I
are
supposed
and where you are
to do with it?
What religion, you know. So all of that, and so yeah, it was very private.
What religion are you, God?
Are you Christian or are you
yeah,
but those were my prayers, very very humble and very just like I would say simple, like, you know, I just don't know, and I'm just asking and just pouring out my heart. And so anyway, that
back
was
to the conversation with the aunt and uncle. It sounds like you were actually exploring this topic with them.
I felt comfortable to talk with them. I'm at their house. It's a week after I graduated. I'm saying all these things and they're just asking questions. And like the Holy Spirit, I can explain this now, was just upon them and speaking through them. Like they're asking these amazing questions, and then they start asking me about Jesus. And because I had been reading through the New Testament at this point, and like, okay, like if this is all real for you, it sounds like it is, like, then what do you believe about Jesus? And then they, I was like, I don't know. And then they, I was like, what do you mean? And so then they just started explaining, well, this is who Jesus, they just walk me through the gospel very simply. And like, as they're sharing the gospel with me, my heart's like pounding out of my chest.
Yes.
Like not like in an anxiousness, but like a Holy Spirit just like, wow, this is like, this is the moment, like this is real, I it's clicking now. And so like the light bulb's going off, and they're very gracious. They're like, hey, this is a lot to process, like, you know, if you want to go home and talk with your dad some more and pray about this privately, and like I like, or you know, of course we could do it now, but there's really no pressure. I like interrupt them all, like, no, I want to do this now, like, let's go.
You're like, now.
Yeah. I was like, I know, like, everything you've said in the last like 2 years of my life, I'm like, I understand it now. Like, Jesus is real. He is who he says he is. He died in my place. Like, I am a sinner, and I need a savior. And so I recognize that he is the one true God, that he is the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. And so I articulate that in very simple terms, just a confession of who Jesus is, and that I want him to be Lord and Savior over my life. And they're like, okay, let's go in the living room and pray. So we go to the living room, and I had never prayed out loud before or publicly. And so I'm shaking, like my voice is quivering. I'm weeping uncontrollably with like sorrow over the realization of my sin and how Jesus paid that cost, but also an overwhelming joy of like what this means now that I am forgiven and free.
It's
and
like a deliverance.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I just, they kind of walk me through it. They say, hey, this isn't a magic prayer. Here's the heart of it. Now you can communicate something like this, but then you just pray and just pour out your heart. And so that's what I did. And so they guided me through it. And then it was just kind of a freestyle prayer of just crying out to God and confessing my sins, acknowledging things like my desire for him now. And then we just celebrated and rejoiced. We went to go get ice cream, celebrated, came back, talked for hours. I didn't leave till late that night. I mean, it was several hours of just celebration. And then I went home, and that was May 19th of 2014. And it was the best day of my life. And so that's a snapshot
amazing
of my story.
Right. So, That's really awesome. I love how you just painted that picture for us, because you were really helping me get into your story. And what that does for me is it helps me see from a very behind the scenes perspective how God comes and meets people where they are. And I feel like now, of course, talking about it now, we can look back together. I'm sure you reflect a lot on this, to those days when you were completely oblivious to God, like well before that moment in your college dorm room or your apartment or whatever. Well before that, when you were completely absent-minded of God, oblivious to his presence in our midst, and now you know that he was there.
Yes.
He knew you, he saw you, and he knew that he was going to be with you in the future. And but the time was not then. It was later, and it happened when you were in that moment that you just described to us. And I hope that that brings a sense of peace and comfort to our listeners to know that regardless of what you're going through, when you feel like you might not notice God being with you, think of Matt's story, and think of the fact that God was there when he was completely oblivious to God being there. And now we get to see how over this 2-year period of really a sense of curiosity and learning about just trying to find something deeper and fulfillment, like we were talking about, fulfillment in your life that actually mattered, that would last, that was not temporary. And you ended up finding that by really coming to understand who Jesus is and what he's done for us. And now, obviously, so we've fast forwarded a handful of years. I'm sure you've just learned so much about him since then. And obviously you're in ministry with young people now, which is just incredible. So with the little bit of time that we have here, I'd love to hear a little more from you. You know, first of all, if you're able to tell us, what are some of the main if you were to pick one or two characteristics of God that you think are just, they just pop out for you, what would you say?
Oh, man. I might have to give you three on that.
But I
would say his steadfast love, and his grace would probably be like the top two. But also I think of just wrapped up in steadfast love, there's a faithfulness that he's, like, as you mentioned, just always been with me, even when I was unaware. And then, you know, I think of that verse where it says that the truth has set you free. So when it says Jesus came full of grace and truth, I'm overwhelmed by the grace that he has poured out in my life.
I love that. And if you listen to episode after episode of this podcast, I ask this question often, and it's really cool how God reveals different facets of himself in really powerful ways to different people. And if you put all those stories together, you just get to see this incredible, like, multidimensional God that we have, who is the same for everyone. But yet I like to ask this question about what pops for you, because I feel like he chooses to reveal himself in some unique ways with different people. And so through your story, I can see why you would pick those things. Well, Matt, I feel like we could go on and on and on. This is such a great conversation. I really do think that these swivel armchairs are doing the trick. It's been a great conversation. I know you have such a heart for people, and especially based on your story, just wanting to reach out to those who might feel lost or confused. Do you have any advice you'd like to give to someone who's listening today who might feel lost or confused?
Yeah, I have a thought, and a verse came to mind as I think about this, from Jeremiah 29, verse 12 and 13. We all know Jeremiah 29:11, or those of us who...
Not everybody.
not everyone. It basically talks about...
it's a very popular verse.
I'll say that, in the Christian world. But for those that don't, it is something where it's talking about how God has good plans for us, and not to harm us, but for our good and for our welfare. Something to that effect. Verses 12 and 13, less popular, it says, Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And so I think that verse really jumps out to me as, if you're genuinely looking for fulfillment in life, genuinely, and you will find it, that God will reveal himself to you. Like you had mentioned, it's, mm-hmm. it's unique in people's testimonies, but also there's a consistency there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I would just encourage people with that. And then also it's really hard. Like when I was looking at the world religions and studying them and reading the Bible, there was no denial that Jesus is real and walked the earth, even from atheists. And so there might be some fringe views that believe that, but no one actually claims that Jesus didn't exist and walk this earth. And so you just have to say, well, then who is he? Is he really God, the Savior? Is he who he says he is, or is he something else? And so, what I have found to be true is that he is. And the verse that I would say, kind of adding to your question here, for maybe my personal testimony of how mm-hmm. God has revealed himself, is Proverbs 35, which just says, every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. That testing these things about the way I was living and pursuing fulfillment, and then actually testing what scripture says, has proven to be true every time.
Yeah. I think just you and I sitting here today, even if listeners have never listened to another podcast episode before and don't know anything about my story either, hopefully we can just attest to you right now that he has been very real to us.
Yes.
Even whenever we didn't want it to necessarily be so, and we were seeking, he has been very real to us, mm. and he can be real to you too. So Amen. There is just no better way to live life than under his loving kindness, his faithfulness, and his care, like you mentioned earlier today. So thank you so much, Matt, for this conversation. It's been awesome, and I hope it encourages the listeners.
Thank you, Jessica. Same to you.
Go to the description of today's episode to find more information about what we discussed. If you like this podcast, please click follow, share it with a friend, or leave us a review. And get excited, because new episodes release every week.